My text today comes from the book of James, the first chapter, beginning with verse 17. I want us to look a little bit before I read my scripture at this person, James. James, that wrote our scripture today, that wrote my text, is a half-brother of Jesus. So he's probably, during his younger years, saw more out of Jesus than even the disciples. Because the initial 12, they just knew Jesus after he started his ministry. And at that point in time, when he started his ministry, he was 30 years old. So James, his half-brother of Jesus, knew what he was really like when he was at home, when he was a boy growing up. So James had a first-hand knowledge of what kind of person Jesus Christ really was. And in John, the 7th chapter, verse 5, tells us that even Jesus' brothers, his brethren, his flesh and blood, didn't accept him. They didn't believe in him. We all have people probably in our families that we say we're Christian. And they say, yeah, sure, you're a Christian. I remember you when you did so-and-so back in the fifth grade in school. Or I remember what you did during the summer of 1966 or 67, and you're a Christian? But that wasn't the case with James and Jesus, because Jesus committed no sin. He did no wrong. But you better believe that James and all of his brothers and sisters was watching everything that Jesus did. So, what made James change his mind about Jesus? He changed from being doubtful, or maybe he wasn't doubtful, maybe he was just unconcerned about what was affecting Jesus. He was unconcerned. And you know that kind of rings a bell, doesn't it? Because you may be totally unconcerned about what I'm saying this morning. We come to church out of habit. And that's supposed to be enough. There was something that happened in James's life that triggered this major transformation. And I believe, like many scholars believe, that it was possibly when Jesus arose from the dead that really got James's attention. It would have mine. And James was one of the first people that Jesus revealed himself to after he arose from the dead. James is talking to us today in our scripture in a different manner than what most of the epistles are written. James is talking to us just like a pastor would talk to his congregation. James is exercising love and concern for what's happening in each and every one of our lives. James's style of talking to the people is much like that style of Jesus. And he probably learned how to relate to people and how to talk to people from watching what Jesus did. And that in itself should be a clue to us that if we want to win people to Jesus Christ, we need to talk to them and relate to them the same way that Jesus related to people. The purpose of James's letter was to correct a false belief that a person can have faith without having a change in their behavior. That was the whole bottom line. If you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a part of the body of Christ, that calls for a transformation, a renewing of our faith, a change of our actions. We can't go to the places we used to go to. We can't say the things that we used to say. We don't say them anymore because we have had a one-on-one experience with Jesus Christ. And when James is talking to the people in this letter that he has written regarding their Christian life, James doesn't say, I highly recommend that you do these things. But instead, James says, you must do these things. You have to do these things. James wanted the people that he cared so much about to demonstrate actions that would prove to themselves and to the people that saw them, to the world that was watching their life, he wanted them to see that their faith in Jesus was genuine. It was a real thing. James wanted them to know that. He wanted them to live in such a way that the world would know that they had an authentic relationship with Jesus. That their faith was genuine. Especially in the face of trials and troubles and temptation. If you have your Bible and will, please turn with me to James. That's the next book right after Hebrews. James, the first chapter, beginning with verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those that look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are righteous and do not bridle their tongue, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep one another, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our text today begins with verse 17. And we see that James is switching his focus from the temptation. If you go back and read the first few verses of the first chapter of James, you'll see how that James is talking to the people about don't yield to the temptations of the world. But we see him leaving that thought, and he's going on to say that God does not tempt anybody. God is not tempted, nor neither does he tempt anybody. Instead, God gives us good gifts. God gives us, if we trust in him and believe in him and accept him as our personal Savior, he gives us eternal life. Every action, everything that God does is good. Matthew tells us in chapter 6, verse 30, and also in chapter 7, verse 11, that the God who put the stars, the sun, and the moon in their places faithfully presides over his children, over their lives, and provides everything that is good. We oftentimes have a tendency to feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, poor me. But you have accepted Christ as your Savior. You are truly blessed. Because think what a mess you would be in if you did not have Christ on your side. You would be fighting a losing battle. Because when you accept Christ, like I said last Sunday, and you put on that whole armor of God, then you are preparing yourself to fight that battle. We cannot fight these battles on our own. We as Christians must concentrate our attention and be quick to listen. You know, that's a gift from God in itself, to be able. And it's probably more so for preachers and for teachers than it is for the average layperson. It's so hard for us to shut up and listen to what our fellow man is saying. To be quiet and hear the still small voice of God speaking to our hearts. That's a hard thing to do. Obviously, this is not easy, or James would not be addressing this problem of saying to be quiet, to bridle your tongue. Christians must concentrate their attention. They must be quick to listen. We are to control our tongue and be slow to speak. Somebody told me one time if I talked any slower, I wouldn't be saying anything. That I just drug out my southern drawl. But we do need to be slow to speak. James goes on to say that we are to cleanse our lives of sin and to lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. We must be doers of the word. We must put into practice what the word says. What it all comes down to, folks, is that we have to obey and we have to listen. James explains the command. He talks about a man that looks into a mirror, but he does nothing to improve the way he looks. I heard a woman say one time, years ago, I was just a small child, that she got so insulted by a preacher. They were having a revival meeting. And the preacher got up and he says, "How many of you women have never wore any makeup or lipstick?" And this one little old lady raised her hand. He says, well, you'd look a lot better if you did. Any old barn looks better with a good coat of paint. So James is saying you look in the mirror and nothing changes. You're the same despicable, ugly person that you were yesterday. But when we look in the mirror that God puts in front of us, we need to see the reflection of God coming back at us. When people look at our lives, they need to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. When people look at me, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Jesus Christ. I want you to see a person that whenever you have a need, you have something in your life that you need to pray about, I want you to see me as a person that will kneel here at this altar and pray with you until we get the victory over that situation. Because God can change things. Amen. There is nothing that comes into our lives that God cannot change. So James is telling these people, don't just look in the mirror and turn around and walk off and forget what you saw. But you need to look into the mirror of God's perfect law, the law that will set you free from your sins and the problems that you have in your life. Don't look in that mirror and forget it. Don't look at the words of the Bible and read them and go on and forget it. But hide these things in your heart. James also gets to where he steps on our toes a little bit. He says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If it's slander, it's going to come boiling out. If it's gossip, it's going to come boiling out. Whatever you have in the recesses of your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. You young people remember vacation Bible school trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube? It didn't work, did it? Well, that's the same way with the words that comes out of our heart and comes flying out of our mouth. You can't put them back. Once those words come out, the damage has been done. You have offended somebody. You have brought shame to the name of Jesus Christ because you allowed something to come out of your mouth that was not holy. Yeah, we all sin. We all make mistakes. That's why we have to pray daily for the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You can apologize till the cows come home, but you can't take those words of hurt back once you've said them. Only God has the ability to forget. You hurt my feelings and I'll remember it from now on. But God can forgive and forget. When He forgives our sins, He forgets them. We don't have that ability, but God does. Next, James discusses useful service. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father. James says to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained by the world. Can we do one of these things without the other thing happening? How can we get out there in the world and do all this good stuff and not be affected by it? Many people in the church have neglected reaching out to people around them because they don't want to be contaminated by sin. We must remember that those people out there that are sinners are the very people that God has called us, every last one of us, to reach out to. Yes, you can do this, and at the same time, keep yourself unstained. How can you do that? By maintaining our relationship with God. That's the only way you could do it. We must have a horizontal relationship and a vertical relationship. In our horizontal relationship, we reach out here to our neighbor and we help that person, regardless of who they are, where they live, their social status, whether they're an FSU fan or a Gator fan. We reach out to that person and let them know that Jesus Christ loves them. And at the same time, we have to maintain a vertical relationship, a relationship with the Almighty God, with our Heavenly Father. We have to be in communion with Him. Because only when you are in communion in that vertical with our Holy Father can we distance ourselves and become unharmed by the things of the world. There's a balance. It's a horizontal and a vertical. Lord, I'm reaching up to you. Help me to do this, but help me, Lord, to reach out here to my fellow man. That's what it's all about. How can we live this life? How can we be so quick to listen and so slow to speak? How can we be so slow to anger? How can we go from being hearers of the word into being doers of the word? How can we look into the word of God and not forget what it's saying? How can we control our tongue? How can we care for the down and out, for the downtrodden? How can we remain unstained by sin in this world? How? That's a lot of how questions. But there's one word answer to all of these questions. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the answer this morning to every one of these questions. God doesn't call us to live this kind of life without giving us the power and the anointing to follow through with it. Jesus is our all-powerful, all-loving, and ever-present King of the universe. We all need to ask Jesus this morning to help us to keep ourselves unspotted and untainted by the world and help us to conduct our lives in a way that should we meet Jesus face to face, we won't be ashamed. Do you have things in your life this morning that you are ashamed of, that you really wish you hadn't done? Things that you wish you had not said? Yeah, every one of us do if you want to be honest about it. But you can't take them back. They've been said, they've been done. But we can have a transformation take place in our life. We can be forgiven. Be saved. We can be assured of having eternal life through Jesus Christ. We need this wisdom that comes only from God. We need this wisdom that it takes both to hear and to do the will of God. Mark Twain said that it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bothers me. It's the parts that I do understand that bothers me. It's my prayer today that we all will have an understanding of what James is talking about in our scripture today, about telling us how that we should conduct our lives and conduct them in a way that we can minister to the needs of others, and at the same time we can maintain and increase our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.